The erosion of central authority isn't unique to Libya. Our next guest thinks it's a hallmark of the new Middle East.
For a long time in the Middle East, our problem was the central authority, the dictators. I think we've reached a point now where even a prime minister of a country, even as shaky as Libya, cannot protect himself.
That's Iraqi journalist Gaith Abdul Ahad, a correspondent for The Guardian. He says these days it's hard for anyone in Libya to do their job.
How can a journalist or an official or a human rights worker try to reveal the facts of what's going on the ground if a prime minister is abducted? This is on one side. On the other side, I mean, it has to do with the abduction of Abu Anas al-Libi, the Qaeda suspect who was kidnapped by the Americans. Now, yes, Abu Anas should be put on trial, but the impact, the direct impact of kidnapping a Libyan citizen in the streets of Tripoli, you see it 2 days later, and it's a huge setback for democracy in that country.
What has to happen to make it less of a kind of Wild West?
Unless the people themselves, the people who are the militia commanders, the warlords, and it's not only Libya, by the way. I mean, I've seen it everywhere from Libya now to Iraq, this emergence, the new emergence of this cult of the warlords, something really coming from the Middle Ages at the moment. Unless those people, unless the people realize that they don't need those people, and unless the tribes themselves decide to disarm the militias and give faith into a national government, I don't think there'll be much change. Again, you have to remember something. For us, since the 50s, the nation state has been always associated with the dictator, with the guy with a thick mustache, his family, his clan in Iraq, in Libya, in Syria. The moment that symbol, the moment that dictator is toppled, we are back into square number one. We are questioning, actually, the concept of a nation state. We're questioning what is Iraq, what is Libya, what is Syria. It's a very interesting debate, but it's a very dangerous debate at the same time. It's happening with guns.
Significantly, you mentioned this was happening across the Middle East in various places you traveled, and you mentioned Syria, where I know you traveled in September. How has the narrative there changed in recent months?
We are moving into a situation which I seriously cannot see or predict what will happen in Syria in the next 6 months. Many of the commanders I've known, many of the revolutionaries who've been kind of fighting the regime for the past 2 years, kind of are questioning their priorities at the moment. They tell you, I don't want Bashar to be toppled now, otherwise we'll be fighting each other. We need to find some unity, and then we go back against the regime. I know commanders who have fled the fighting because of the infighting between themselves and the problems with the jihadis. The jihadis who seem to kind of basically sometimes perceived as attacking the rebels from behind while the rebels are engaged fighting the government in the front. All these different elements is creating something in Syria which is beyond. I mean, if you compare Syria to Libya, Libya is a Geneva now compared to Syria.
Now, in Syria, you visited the countryside of the southwest part of that country. Who did you meet with there? What did you see?
I went with some commanders. We were in the countryside of Hama province. And, you know, we spend days traveling along kind of dirt roads, along stone hills. You reach a point when the rebels are attacking. The reality is they don't see the commanders I was with, they don't see a purpose for that battle. They achieve a victory, but they don't know if that victory will be utilized in a better way or in a worse way. And that, in a sense, it kind of tells you the whole debate. There is no, like, one battle that they can go through and win and achieve a change. One of the commanders was telling me, he says, in the beginning, we thought if we go demonstrating against the regime, we'll topple the regime. Then we thought, like, we'll have to do something with hunting rifles and Kalashnikovs. Then we thought, like, once we have artillery pieces and anti-aircraft rockets, we will achieve something. Now, they have the rockets, they have the artillery, they have tanks with them. But it's kind of tiny little squares of wars happening all over the country without a bigger comprehensive picture.
Iraqi journalist Gaith Abdul Ahad is a correspondent for The Guardian. He recently returned from Syria. Thanks, Gaith.
Thank you.